I think the danger for marketing industry is over-promising, and then we under-deliver because we're not under-delivering, we're just delivering, but the delivery is not what the client is wanting. It's not what they expect. It's not what they understand. And that becomes a really big challenge.
This is Digital Marketer.
Hey everyone, this is Mark DeGrasse, the president of Digital Marketer, and this is the podcast that keeps you up to date on everything you need to know when it comes to digital marketing, from the platforms you should be focused on to the kind of tactics and tools that are working today. Today, our guest is Stevie Brown, the CEO and marketing systemizer of the Change Starter. And today we're talking about how to fix the marketing function in a standard business, which sounds kind of crazy, but most people don't know how marketing works. Is that right, Stevie?
Oh, absolutely. There's just so much to delve into today.
That's fantastic. Well, I think, you know, it seems like kind of a funny topic because it's just like, oh, marketing's marketing. But, you know, the more you kind of talk to people, and especially executives and business owners, it's just like, they think it's like a silo, like accounting, and it's not.
Yeah. And it's such a big word. It means so many things, right? So we've kind of just bucketed it. We call it marketing. We actually don't really have very good language in our industry to describe the things that we do often. So yeah, it's a huge topic, and people just kind of silo it onto one side of their business, which is a mistake.
Yeah. Billboards and ads. That's that's what you get most of the time. Okay, so let's start with, how do you define marketing?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. So for me, you know, marketing is about aligning the right place, the right time with the right people. And it's really as simple as that. So it's about getting the message and the channel and the timing right. And if you get the three of those things right, then you've got, you've got a really good positioning in the market, and people can understand what you offer and take up that offer. And obviously I think the timing is the hardest part of that. So for me, you know, we can't always get the timing right. We can't always know if somebody's brain is in purchase mode, but we can certainly do a lot of things with digital marketing to really try and narrow it down and get to the details of that. So, you know, for me, marketing is everything you need to do to promote your business to get more customers on board at some point in the future.
Love it. Okay. So very proactive approach to marketing. Is that how you describe it to, say, business owners, or who's the person within companies that you usually have to explain the function to?
Yeah. So we talk to business owners because, you know, being in Australia, it's a fairly small market. So small businesses are quite small, smaller than they are in the US, say. So we tend to talk to the business owner. They don't have a marketing department. They don't even have a marketing, you know, person, as they kind of refer to it often. So we talk to the business owner, sometimes an operations director, somebody like that, or sometimes the sales director, which usually they understand it a little bit better because they obviously are on the sales side. They get the kind of duality of the functions. So yeah, it's usually to the business owner, and they sort of don't, I think they kind of have a sense of what things they're doing that might be covered by the word marketing, but they don't always understand it. So we had a client who told us Salesforce subscription was coming out their marketing budget. And we were like, no, that's your CRM. That's not really your marketing. So there was just kind of this, you know, confusion sometimes. So I think there's sometimes those blurred lines and a misunderstanding. But yeah, we have to educate business owners all the time. And it's quite strange because they've been business owners for a long time, right? But they kind of deny that they've done marketing. So they must have done something. You know, I kind of say to them, so you say you haven't done any marketing, do you have a business card? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, cool. So you've done some marketing then, something, you know, you something to promote your business. And they're like, yeah, I guess so. I just never really thought of that as marketing. So it's often trying to get them to talk about the things they're doing to understand what might then be defined as marketing for them.
When you're at that level, a lot of times the entire business is built around referrals, like, oh, I did a job for Bob, and then he knew John, so I got a job with John, and then it just goes like that.
Yeah, and you know, that's actually a really important point, because it's that moment, and this is kind of when we start working with it, it's that moment of realization when all of a sudden they're like, oh, okay, we got to this point, and you know, it was Bob and John, and now we need to work with strangers, like people we've never met before. We need to find them. And suddenly this realization that, you know, they don't know enough Bob and Johns to kind of make their business grow and scale. So now they need to actually find some new people. And that's when it becomes a breakthrough moment for a business to say, oh, okay, got it. We got to find some new people now. It's not just about the people we relied on for the last 12 years, you know, to get us to this point. So it's a huge step. It's a huge leap for them.
So do you think it's when they kind of realize like, oh, we've kind of plateaued, or like we've saturated everybody we know, so now we're kind of stuck?
Yeah, sometimes. But I think also it's also about their confidence. So they can be at a point in their business where they're feeling that level of continuity of their business. They're like, okay, we've got it to this point. We're growing, and that's we're okay with that. So growing might be, you know, they get a few new customers coming in at some point, and they're happy with their repeat customers, and it's kind of feeling stable. So they're not, you know, it can happen that they're in panic mode. They've plateaued and they're like, we're stuck. We've got no clients. We're really panicked. That's the worst kind of client to take on for any marketing agency, right? Because they're like, when are we going to get new sales? When are we getting new sales? And you're like, no, we do marketing. You do sales. Like, you know, like totally different functions of your business. Yes, they need to work together, but let's understand who's doing what. And so I think, you know, it can be that panic point, but we certainly try to work with businesses that are in that place where they say, we feel stable. We're ready to now take it to the next level. And I think that's a really important distinction between the panic, you know, mode versus, I mean, the panic mode is you don't want to go there. Like,
no marketeer wants to work with the panic
client. Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, if you are a business owner and you're in that panic stage, you just need to calm, because it's too late. You're already there. You're going to have to get through this. And then, yes, marketing can help you, but obviously it's not going to happen overnight.
Oh, that's such a good point, because I think a lot of people are like, marketing will fix it. It'll like, no, marketing will eventually fix it. It's a long-term solution.
And you know, I think what's really, you know, difficult for people in, you know, for marketeers to cope with is we're all trying to run our business. So we need clients to come on board. And we want to sell to those clients. And no client wants to hear that the work you're going to do is going to take a long time, right? Everyone wants to hear that, you know, it's going to be instant results, instant gratification. Tomorrow, you'll have $1 million in sales, even though you've never done any marketing apart from a business card. So it's really striking that balance between how do we, you know, as agency owners, as marketing consultants, how do we talk to prospective clients and educate them sufficiently that they feel like they can say, you know what, we get that this isn't going to be an overnight solution. We understand that it's going to take some time, and we're comfortable with that. Because often we work with a business at a stage, if they're just going to that growth stage, that next level stage, they haven't actually assigned a marketing budget ever before in their life, right? They've spent money on marketing, but they haven't actually officially assigned a budget. So it's a big leap for them. They're like, oh, okay, we're going to work with these new people. We've never done this before. They want us to spend, you know, a lot more money than we ever thought about spending before. And then now they're telling us that we're not even going to get any results for a long time, or it's a long-term engagement. I think it's a really difficult proposition that we face as an industry to be able to not overpromise, but be realistic. And that's part of, you know, the model that we'll talk about this in my book. Is realism, you know, being realistic about the time it takes to get results and the time it takes for work to be done. I think this is really, it's a very fine balance that we need to strike as marketeers, but we can't shy away from having these realistic conversations with prospective clients. We can't take on clients that are just because we need business, you know?
Yes.
Like I'm sure we've all done that in the past in our businesses, of like, oh, I'll just take the client because we need the money, right? Business owner has been there. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. It's just like, we've got to get it on, got to get a client on, and we've got to get going. So, but I think the danger for marketing industry is over-promising, and then we under-deliver, because we're not under-delivering, we're just delivering, but the delivery is not what the client is wanting. It's not what they expect. It's not what they understand. And that becomes a really big challenge.
Now, for just, you know, the business owners understanding of marketing, a lot of times they'll come and they'll talk about a methodology. They'll be like, well, I need to be on TikTok, or I need to run some ads. Or do you try to transition them from thinking in terms of like methodologies to more thinking in terms of strategies, or what's your approach?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so critical that we get them out those weeds and raise them up to that helicopter view, I think. They haven't had a strategy, and all they know is what they heard on some, you know, Facebook groups about what they should be doing for their business. So, Yeah, they're like, oh yeah, I've got to be on TikTok and I've got to be on Instagram and I've got to be on Facebook.
It's start
like,
a podcast.
So we kind of go, why? Yeah, yeah. It's like, why? Why do you have to be? What is your purpose for that? And let's really be clear about whether that's actually the right channel for your business and what's the strategy for that? Because people tend to then leap to the next stage. It's like, I've got to be on Instagram and I've got to increase my followers. Do you really? Because we don't, like, that's not the strategy we use for our Instagram. Like, for us, it's about just having a credibility and a channel that people can look at when they're inquiring in our business. They have a look, they go, oh, yeah, these people are real. And, you know, they've got some tips and ideas. It's not about going hell for leather to try and get followers on Instagram. So, you know, it's about the strategy behind it. And I think once you start to talk to them in those terms, they start to go, oh, I get that there's more to this. It's not actually that simple. It's not just, you know, be on Instagram or be on TikTok. It's actually, you know, there's some other considerations. And I think really importantly, we look at the operations of the business as well. So we dig deep to understand how do you work operationally? So if we're going to be bringing you traffic or leads to your website, what happens next? What are you going to do with those? So if they're coming through a step, and is that set up? You know, is there something needed there to set that up? Do you have a salesperson that's going to work on that, or are you working on it? Is it the receptionist? You know, what's the system? So when we start to then understand operationally their capabilities, their resourcing, the systems they have or don't have in place, then they start to understand the complexity of it and it starts to be less of a silo. So instead of them going, marketing is over here and we're going to just hire these people and then we can just check that off the list.
All done.
They start to realize that, it needs to integrate. So I tend to say to them, look, you've been thinking of marketing as a pillar. Knock the pillar over across all the other pillars in your business. We need to integrate it through the whole business. Because if your staff need to be part of, for example, creating content, which often they do, you know, we can't be, you know, we have a physiotherapy business. We can't be a physiotherapist on a video. It's got to be them, right? So we need them involved in the marketing from that perspective. They don't always understand that, businesses in general. And so once you start to say, just knock that pillar over and we need to integrate it, let's look at how it integrates across different functions of your business. And then they start to realize that there's a lot more expertise to marketing than just we need to be on TikTok.
Hey everyone, I want to quickly interrupt the podcast for a special announcement. If you're listening to this podcast because you want to become a better marketer, then I want to share with you what I believe to be the most comprehensive digital marketing program on the market today. It's called the Digital Marketing Mastery Certification. You'll learn to leverage the tools and channels to predictably and profitably drive awareness, leads, sales, and referrals. Everything you need to know to become a true master of digital marketing. We'll take an in-depth look at the core digital marketing competencies, including content, email, social media, community, digital advertising, data and optimization, and more. After earning your digital marketing strategist certificate, you'll have the tools to effectively reach your target audience through a full scope marketing strategy. Get started today at digitalmarketer.com/strategycert.
Oh, well, that's a great way to visualize it too, because I think a lot of people think of it as like, well, I need my lawn mowed, so I'm going to hire a lawnmower. It's like, no, yeah. That's not exactly how marketing works. Yeah. It doesn't just get done. Well, and even if it could, like if you said like, if I need a marketing firm to come in and make our marketing, you know, they'll probably not be happy with the service and the results and what's created. They won't, won't display the information that they need to display, which is usually related to their top products or services or their most profitable ones. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that marketer is not a family doctor or a roofer or a plumber or like, we don't know this information. We're just grabbing stuff online.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And we ask for our engagement from our clients and we say to them, you need to provide timely assistance to us and you need to engage with us as an expert in your field. In other words, we're doing the marketing part. You don't need to get involved with that. You don't need to, you know, have expertise in that. And you don't need to ask a lot of questions in that. Leave us and trust us to do that. But when it comes to us understanding things that are your field of expertise, that's where we need your input. And you have to be part of that journey. Because if you're not, we really can't do our job properly for you. So that's really critical.
Oh, that makes a ton of sense. Now, when you do have, just in that situation you described where it's like, hey, we need the information, leave us to doing the marketing. What do you do if owner wants to be a lot more invested in the marketing than is probably helpful? because they have a lot of opinions yeah. on colors and design.
Yeah. Well, I shut them down.
Good.
I'm pretty straight with it. But it's harder for perhaps, you know, some of my team to maybe do that. So we try to just steer them back in the right direction. But we have a policy in our business that it was sort of an internal policy. We call it casual approval. So when our marketing managers are sending things through to clients, we don't ask for feedback really, because when you ask for feedback, you're going to get it.
You're going to get
it.
You
ask anybody for feedback, you're going to get it, right?
Yeah. Like an obligation.
And it's really about the fact that it's not that we don't want feedback. That's not what it is. It's that clients don't know what they're looking at. We don't work with marketing people, right? So a bigger agency might be working with a marketing manager internally with, you know, a marketing department in a big company. We are the marketing department for our client's business. And that's exactly how we position ourselves. So our marketing managers make decisions on their behalf that they don't ever really need to be involved in. And if they were involved, if we invited them to be involved, they wouldn't know what they were looking at. So we're doing it, you know, to help them, right? We want to move it forward and take time, you know, give them their time back. So we do the casual approval, which is, hey, just letting you know, here's the ads that we've started running. You know, it's like, these are just for your files kind of thing. Like we don't, it's not like, you know, have you got any feedback? Let's get the approval. Because for me, having an, you know, traditional agency background in my career, I always really rolled my eyes a lot at the level of kind of over communication of approval stages within the business. It was like, oh, this is so painful. Like, we're the expertise, you know, we're the experts rather in what we do. Yes, I get the client needs to have input, but do we really need to go through 500 approval stages? Like, can't we just streamline this? This is crazy, because of just the amount of hours that, you know, agencies, traditional agencies spend, and those hours, you know, they're not paid for. The owner's not paying the, you know, people are just working overtime for free. I used to work in agencies where I'd work 12, 15 hour days. It was just common. It was normal, right? That's the standard. It doesn't need to be like that. You know, there's so much admin and bureaucracy that's layered into a lot of traditional agencies. And so for me, it's like, just streamline it, strip that out. We don't need the client involved in certain decisions, and they wouldn't appreciate getting involved because they don't know what they're looking at. So why would you ask them for feedback on it? Doesn't make any sense. So, yeah. So I think it is tricky though. We do have to sometimes put them in their box. So much trouble for saying this if my clients listen to this, but
we're talking about marketing.
But I just think, you know, we want them to, it's actually coming from a good place. We want them to be able to get on with running their business. Yeah. They've got so much to do. Every business owner does. We don't want them to be in a position where we're bugging them every 5 minutes for some kind of approval or something. That's our job. That's what they pay us for. So that's how we see it.
I have heard one trick to get them to stop, which would be like, yes, you can give feedback, but it's going to cost us extra time. So I'm going to need to charge you for it.
Exactly.
Then they get a lot more compliant. I think it's
suddenly there's no feedback. Yeah.
I think that's ideal, because, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, you think you have to communicate everything. And the fact of the matter is, it's, you don't, and you shouldn't.
You can't. No.
No, that's,
it just
that's
gets too much.
Fantastic advice. Now, everything that you're talking about, it does sound pretty involved. Do you do like minimum term contracts, or how do you work the actual deal?
Yeah, 100%. So we have, we work with minimum 12-month contracts our clients. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And the way we work, it's a little bit different than, again, to use this phrase, traditional agencies. But what we do is we ask them to commit their marketing budget for the year to us, and we take it under management. So that concept in itself, if they're not at a point where they automatically just assign a marketing budget to their company budget each year, we have to kind of get them to that point, like educate that you need to be doing this now. It's the next stage for your business. You should have a line item that says marketing. And what is that? We advise 7-10% of their revenue as a benchmark. And I know there's a lot of different schools of thought on that out there, but I think we've kind of settled on 7-10 for small business in our market. So that's what we advise. And then we say to them as well, don't take our word for that. You can Google it, have a look at the different, you know, research out there about it. But we then say, so how much is, you know, your 10% if you want to go for your 10%? And then whatever that is, that's our budget. So we then get a contract signed at that amount. And we just bill them that 12 monthly installments. So they always know. Yeah. So it's like a subscription in a sense. So they always know what their bill's going to be. One of the big criticisms that came through my research that I did for my master's degree is the agencies just send random bills and clients never know what they're getting, when they're getting it, how much it's going to be. They can't manage their cash flow. So that's a really big benefit to a lot of our clients. They're like, oh, thank goodness, we know exactly how much it's going to cost us. And we've committed to that. So they commit to that. And once we get the contract signed, we then begin the strategy work. And so the benefit of that is they're not paying for a big chunk of money up front for us to do a strategy. So we, in a way, we kind of solve them for the first few months to just kind of make it work. And it works really well for us because we have the contract in. And so we know where we stand as well from a financial standpoint. So we love that. And then the scope is set from the strategy and it fits within the remaining budget that we have after the strategy fees are extracted. So that's how we work. And then we go for, you know, we do a renewal, obviously towards the end of that. So we do a 6-month review and then by about month 8, we start talking to them about renewals.
Oh, excellent. Well, I was going to ask that next, which is the review process. So, you know, how often do you send like actual reports to show ROI or how do you kind of justify?
Yeah, so we do a monthly dashboard. Yeah, so we just send out, we have a dashboard software that we just bring everything together, all the things we're working on for them, all the different analytics feeds in. They have that access to that 24/7. It's a live dashboard. So, you know, we never hide what the results are. They're always there on live analytics. And then we send a monthly, we sort of lock it down for the month, send the monthly report and say, this is what we're seeing happening this, you know, in the last month or so. Here's some stuff we're doing to optimize here or there. Whatever it might be. And if something's like, oh, this is really not working the way we were hoping, then that's when we'll sort of say, look, this one's not quite right. So we're just going to have a think about this and we'll come back to you with, you know, a recommendation of how we might adjust things and reallocate budget. So we do that regularly, but then 6 months, we start to review everything. And we just really pull it all together and say, you know, how has the relationship gone and how has the strategy gone so far? Often in the first 6 months, you know, there might have been, or certainly in the first 3 months, because we've been doing a strategy often from scratch, and then as in they didn't have anything really in place before. And then we would have done what we call housekeeping. So it's like getting your templates in place, automation set up, like all the back of house stuff, tidy up the website, whatever it is. We sort of, you know, we'll just review that and say, these are the things we've done for you. So just to remind them, like, hey, there's a whole bunch of work that's gone on in the background here. So it's not been there to promote your business as such, but it's there doing a job and it's set you up for the future kind of thing. So yeah, that's what we do. And then we take them through that and that sets us up for the conversation to get a sense from them whether they're happy, comfortable to continue. And if we feel they are, then we'll start building the strategy for year 2 for them. And then obviously the cost of that comes out of the year 2 contract. So
oh, that's
they get
great
a good deal, I think.
Yeah, no, it sounds like
pretty
it
proactive.
Now, when you are doing this, do you set the expectation, or who sets the projections of kind of, you know, how much you know, sales are going to grow, or leads, or how do you kind of decide on the metrics for the business?
Look, our clients are pretty straightforward. They're not too analytical, like okay, they don't get into too much of the weeds of that, but they will obviously set their own sales targets. But generally, I think what we find is, it's not true for all clients, but often we actually have to make that process happen for them. So we need to educate them and we need to say, look, let's really think about this. You know, what's the logic here? How many leads do you need? How are your sales going? You know, what's realistic? What do we need to do to grow? Or do we need, you know, we tend to have that conversation and ask them, like, are we looking to maintain? Do you want to grow? What are your plans for next year? 9 times out of 10, they don't really know the answer to that. And so generally what we do is we just, I suppose we kind of make up something that we think might work and then say, what about this? Does this work for you? And they'll, yeah, okay, I think that works. So we guide them a lot on their business as well as their marketing. And, you know, they'll feed into that, but it's something that, you know, that I guess the small businesses, they're not really that structured like bigger companies are. And they don't sort of sit down and write their business plan and, you know, have their goals and then the budget's done and all of that. Some do, some don't. It just depends. So
Yeah, probably more often than not, right?
Yeah, but more often than not, yeah. And we'll take what we can get. If they've got any sense of their sales goals or numbers, we'll take it, and then we'll kind of refine it and do something a bit more with it to make it make sense. And then we can, once we get those business goals, we can tie it into the marketing. So,
excellent.
Just depends.
No, it sounds like a really good system, and it's you know, it's not so like stringent that it's not flexible, because I'm sure you serve a bunch of different you know, types of businesses. I was in the same space where it was like, you know, you'd be doing a what, ketamine therapy website one day, and then the next day you'd be doing, you know, lawn mowing or
which that's what we love as marketeers, right? It's just you always learn a bunch of useless facts about loads of different industries. Kind of like, that's the fun stuff.
Sometimes I'll go off on a topic and I'm like, I have no idea why I know that much about this subject. And then I'm like, oh, I had to build a website or something.
You end up like sounding like a know-it-all, because you're like, well, actually, in that industry, happens.
Here's the statistics.
How do you know that? Like, yeah.
No, that's great. So if you could give, you know, companies out there, marketers out there, advice on maybe some things to avoid when you're setting up these kind of long-term engagements, what would you say? Like, you know, top tips for setting something like this up?
So the first thing that I would talk about is our framework. So the framework that I developed, which is outlined in my book, is called the CARE Factor Fix. And CARE stands for commitment, accountability, realism, and engagement. And these are the values that we use as our values model on business. But what it means, and it's really important that agencies start to identify prospective clients, how they align to these factors. When they're kind of assessing prospective clients, if you align to these factors and you see where they're at on their journey, then you'll actually get much better clients as a result of this. And this has come from research where I've talked to business owners. We did questionnaires and interviews with business owners, and then we did questionnaires and interviews with marketing providers. And I looked at what that disconnect was, because I knew there was a disconnect. You know, I would hear business owners say, marketing doesn't work. Marketing providers don't communicate. We don't know what we're spending our money on. It seems to take forever. All these kinds of criticisms of our industry. And then marketing providers are like, oh, clients, what a nightmare. You know, they don't understand what marketing is. They don't know what we're doing for them. We don't get it. They don't seem to be happy with what we've done, but we got them, you know, we got them 100,000 subscribers on their email list and they weren't happy with it. And the clients there going, we didn't get any sales, you know? So there's just this huge kind of disconnect. So with this model, commitment, the first pillar, is about strategy and budget and longevity. So if they don't have a strategy, then there's no longevity because there's no plan and there's no budget. And if there's no budget, then you haven't got a bunch of work set up for you for, you know, the next year or more. So instead of working really short term, and often, you know, we see a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of cowboys in our industry now. It's been one of the natures of us being self-regulated as an industry. You know, anyone can call themselves a marketeer. And the downfall of that is that we get people out there, they're like, hey, you know, I can run your ads for $99 a week and you'll get, you know, $1 million of sales tomorrow. It's like, whatever. And so it's kind of trained clients, I think that marketing is an overnight thing and a short-term thing. And so you need to check with your clients, have they got a strategy? Have they got a budget? And what is their appetite for longevity here? Are they just expecting to work with you for 3 months and then just see if it works and if it doesn't, go away? Because if that's the case, you need to understand what works means to them. What is a result to them? And 9 times out of 10, a result for them is a sale. And if they don't have anything else set up in their business to manage sales, they're not going to get sales even if you get them leads. So that's going to be a fail, right? So you need to understand their commitment, and you need to make a commitment as well that you're going to be able to work with them long-term to deliver for them. And then when we go to accountability, every business owner needs accountability, but often they don't have it. And so we need to be accountable as marketeers to say, we're not just there to run your ads. We're there to understand your business, how your operations works, how what we are doing fits into the bigger picture of your business. So if you're not asking those questions as a marketeer, you're already setting yourself up to fail with the relationship, because you need to integrate. Again, it's the pillar knocking down through the business. You know, just because you're doing one role, which is, you know, writing some content or running some ads, doesn't mean that that role doesn't have relevance to other parts of their business, because it does. So asking those really deep questions and understanding what's their process, what have they got set up, what needs to still be set up, how are they going to handle leads, what's their sales team like, can they convert, etc. And so that's the accountability piece. And then obviously we need to be accountable. And this comes back to what we talked about earlier about striking that fine balance between promising results versus reality of that. And so we need to be accountable for that. We need to be realistic about it as well. And then that brings us to the third pillar, realism, and being realistic about timelines and budget. Again, we have to be accountable to educate clients. They don't understand how long it takes, especially digital marketing, where we have to say, create content 2 months before it's going to go out in an email because the email has to be done. You know, you need the content before the email, etc. You know, we have this kind of funnel to work through, and clients don't always understand all the steps in that process. So you have to educate them on that. You know, we have to educate those marketeers, and they have to understand that there are a lot more steps to the process than they think there are, because in their mind, they just whack a quick MailChimp email together and send it out. But if they want quality marketing, then that's not how things are going to be anymore, because we're moving to a different level of their business when, you know, certainly when we take them on. So it's a whole new world for them. And then lastly, engagement. So we talked a bit about this earlier. How are they engaging with you as a business? You know, are they providing assistance when you need it? Do they give you, you know, the information you need about a product launch? Do they give you the logins you need to access their systems? Do they engage with you and want to know how the results are going? Or do they let you know what's happening in their business? Like, you need to set that engagement structure up as well, so you're having regular conversations, not just about the marketing activities, but about the business. You know, how's your business going? So I do a quarterly catch up with all the business owners for all our clients, catch up with them. How's business? What's happening in your people, your sales, your operations, your product, everything. I want to know the whole lot, because we get so much intel from that then helps us to do a better job. So you got to get your four factors set up and find out where they're at on their journey with that. Are they going to commit? Are they going to be accountable? Are they going to be realistic? And are they going to engage? And if you get those four in place, then you've got the perfect relationship and it will work. And we know, because we apply that model in our business, and it doesn't always hit. And sometimes we have to go, these guys are not working on this pillar, and we need to go and have a chat about this with them, or we need to help them with this or educate them with this. But we've got that as a measure point then, and we can say, yeah, are they being realistic? No. Okay, we need to go and solve that problem.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and I think it's like you said, it's just the basic information that you can collect that'll tell you exactly how this is going to go. Because especially the question about like, hey, we sent you a bunch of leads, what's going to happen to them? And they'll be like, well, then we'll call them back. It's like, okay, well, based on your expectation of a, you know, bazillion dollars or whatever, can you handle that? You know?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Can they handle it? Do they really understand what they're asking for? And do they really understand what you're going to do is going to do for them? Like that.
Yes.
It's just so critical. So set the, you know, there's questions. So we have actually, in my book, there's actually like a quiz, kind of like a breakdown of these four factors that both agencies and clients can use to go, where are we on this journey? Are we actually ready for this kind of adult relationship with a marketing provider? Because a lot of businesses are not. And equally, a lot of marketing providers are not operating at this standard either. So I think it's a really good standard set for people to understand where they're at, and then they can start to improve on those areas of either their marketing business or their as a business owner engaging a marketing provider.
That's fantastic. Well, I think you know, because really what you're doing is you're transitioning them from, hey, you know, referrals and business landing in your lap to strangers that don't know you and don't care about your history with the community or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's a completely different animal.
Absolutely.
So they need all the, everything that you're saying. Otherwise, what they'll do is they'll set the expectation for the clients is like, oh, you know, you should be fine with this. I don't usually call people back for 3 weeks after we get started. It's like, no.
Yeah. It's like, that's not enough. I worked with a business once. This is way back when I was a business advisor, and he came in and said, I'm paying this guy $2,000 a month for SEO. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? You know, it was this idea, like we're doing some SEO. I don't know what that means. You know, there's so many things it could be. And he's like, yeah, but I don't really know if it's working. And, you know, we, over a course of a discussion, you know, which was kind of like pulling teeth, I finally discover he didn't have Google Analytics set up. So he has no idea what his web traffic, has no idea what he's looking at. He's just got this sense that people must be coming to his website. I don't know where he got that sense from. And then we discover that he didn't have any inquiries. So he was questioning, should he be spending this money? And I'm like, well, let's just take a look at where your inquiries would come into. And we discovered a mailbox that he doesn't look at full of 3 years of inquiries to his business.
Oh my gosh, that's painful. He was just paying. Well, and actually the marketing company was doing a great job.
Doing a great job, yeah. But, you know, like that business owner obviously took 3 years before he asked the question. He just paid his money and hoped for the best. His strategy was hope. But imagine if the SEO guy had said, hey, you know, how's it going? What's happening with your business? You know, how are the inquiries going? They could have discovered that so much sooner and he would have had a viable business. In the end, I think he had to sell because it just wasn't.
Just doesn't make any sense. It's
terrible.
Yeah. Well, especially after 3 years, man, that's reporting. But, you know, if you know, some marketing companies would be fine with that, right? Like I'm cashing a check. I'm sending them leads. I'm doing a good job. Yeah. But then you get fired out of the blue.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, yeah, you didn't communicate anything to them. And that's
exactly. Yeah.
How would
accountability.
They
exactly.
Well, I think, you know, your pillars and everything you have in the book sounds fantastic. Where can people get the book or is it online?
Yeah, they can get the book. So if they go to our website, thechangestarter.com, there's just a book, get the book. Link is probably the easiest way to just grab it. So you can grab it there. It's very cheap. I think it's like $9 or something.
Nice.
So yeah, it's a great book to set that framework up for sure. And I, you know, I'm kind of passionate about the industry taking it up because I think, you know, we really do need that framework. I see just so many fails between agencies and clients. And I just don't think those fails need to be there. If there's a little bit more structure to our communication, it's actually quite simple to put those things in place. And it's really just about having more of a deep conversation with clients and also seeing that our role is bigger than just, you know, just marketing. Our role is to partner with clients and really help them to grow their business. And we all have the capability, you know, professional qualified marketeers have the capability to do that. And I think it helps us raise the standard overall.
Oh, I love that. Well, and I think that's what we got to do because it is people have this perception of marketers and it's just kind of like, you know, no, you're wrong. That's not the same thing as what we're doing here at least as a full service firm, because a lot of times they just default to whatever they do well and say, we're
absolutely
doing marketing.
Yeah, exactly. And like, we're not in an economic climate right now where we can rest on our laurels. Like we need to work harder and, you know, there's going to be more questions asked from clients. They're going to start saying, why am I spending this money? What am I spending it for? What am I getting? And so agencies need to be more accountable than I think overall they are. And I'm sure there's a ton out there that are very accountable and do an amazing job, but there's also a ton out there that don't. And we need to, you know, those of us who are more accountable probably need to step up and say, hey guys, let's be more accountable as an industry.
Yes. I love it. Well, I hope you achieve that because I've been trying to do that at least here in the United States. I'm kind of like, you know, trying to elevate marketing.
It's a big ask.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You got the, you know, the shortest lived C-suite, right? Where it's just like the CMOs always get canned. So I love your approach. I think it's a really good way to integrate marketing throughout an organization, not just, you know, as a marketing function. And like you're doing, you're elevating the profession. So thank you for that.
Thank you. And I do have a little bonus. There's a little bonus for your listeners as well. So they can also go to thechangestarter.com/podcast gift. And there's just a few little freebies on there. And the book link is there as well. So
love it. Well, thank you so much, Stevie. Really appreciate your time. I think those are some fantastic tips. And I hope you succeed in elevating the whole profession and the industry in general.
Thanks, Mark. It's been really great chatting with you. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you so much for listening. Be sure to hit that follow button so you get notified when all of our new episodes release. Please share this with a friend who is clueless about digital marketing. And don't forget to visit digitalmarketer.com where you can access all of our courses, certifications, and training programs. Thanks again, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
This is Digital Marketer.
Get ready for the two easiest ways for you to generate product photos for your e-commerce store. I'm Lauren Petrullo. founder and CEO of Mongoose Media and Digital Marketer Academy faculty member. I've managed over 50,000 SKUs for over 100 different e-commerce sites, and I cannot tell you the importance of quality product photos. Not only are they important for your website, but they're great to be repurposed in your email marketing campaigns, your paid ad initiatives, and your organic social media content. It's imperative that you have great photos because great photos sell your products and start conversations with your consumers. There are two great solutions when seeking out quality product photos for your e-commerce site. One, UGC. We know that native user-generated content wins all day on social. When you can get your customers to share back their use of your products in their voice, in their personal applications, you will see dividends when that is repurposed in your paid ads and organic social feeds. Secondly, don't have customers or UGC yet? Not a problem. There are cost-effective solutions in which you can outsource that photography. This and so much more is covered in my modules in our e-commerce cert with Digital Marketer.